You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, the remote boys are back as promised. We had our first remote show yesterday. I think went pretty strong. I would say strong to very strong. And we have returned today. Eddie Pascal here in Alameda, producer Trav down in San Jose. And KMM, Kyle Cannon, Booby Cartwright Martin, still, I believe, in an undisclosed location. Right, Kyle?
Yeah, that won't be revealed anytime soon.
Nor does it need to be. We were joking. It was kind of funny that we were discussing the programming and how we're going to increase everything we're going to do. We're like, shoot, man, I hope we got enough stuff to talk about. And the NFL gods, they delivered. So I think we're just going to do a little free flowing jazz show today. We're going to riff from topic to topic. And we have our first, this is a big moment, Trav, make sure you put that breaking news sound behind this one. We have our first live studio audience as the fiance is here, much like everyone else. She's been quarantined and told to work from home. And since the house that we live in is kind of small, she's sitting on the couch doing her thing. So very exciting. And should we just rock? Should we just get into it, boys?
Yeah, fire away, man.
Let's do it. All right, let's begin where everyone else is beginning. The biggest question we had headed into free agency, I don't even know if it was really related, Raiders related. I guess in a way it was, but Touchdown Tom is officially out of New England. And Booby, I'm going to start with you. Were you surprised that at the end of this, after all this, will he, won't he, that he's officially said adios to the evil empire?
No, I'm just really confused about like everything that's being reported, because I'm seeing stuff where it's like Tom, there was never an approach from Kraft and Belichick about, you know, re-signing him. But then later I saw something that said Kraft said if Tom would have approached them, they would have found a way to negotiate a deal. It seems like a lot of he said, she said. I feel like there'll be some.
It's getting petty, isn't it? I feel like it's getting petty for sure.
Also, I was looking at what the Patriots did as a thank you video for Tom. It was like a minute and 30 seconds. I understand that they're the Patriots and they don't really give praise to any player that they part ways with, but this man brought you 6 Super Bowl rings. You couldn't scrape together a video better than a minute and 30 seconds.
They gave TB12 90 seconds of airtime?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, I'm telling you, bro. It is going to get the one thing. And like as of 12:30 on Tuesday, when we're recording this, we don't know exactly where Tom is going to end up. But I am interested, like very intrigued throughout the coming months to see how nasty this breakup gets, because everyone's saying the right things now. But like you said, Robert Kraft is like, listen, man, we wanted him, but I don't know if he wanted to be here. And so I feel like Tom is going to come out firing when he officially signs somewhere else. Like, it's going to get like, there's no such thing as like a good breakup. So I am very excited. I wouldn't say excited, but the drama in me is excited to see how nasty this gets over the coming weeks. And if I were a betting man, which, you know, I'm not, I bet you that Brady, if it's possible, if he goes to a team that's playing the Patriots, that's your week one opener, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to want to see that. It's going to be hard to believe that he's in a different uniform. I still maintain that he's not going to go to the Bucs, regardless of all the reports saying he's going to go to the Bucs.
You don't buy it?
I just don't understand why you do that if you're Tom Brady. I don't know. They have good weapons, but I don't know, man. There's just nothing sexy about Tampa Bay.
Jeff Darlington of ESPN brought up a good point as I was sitting in my house in my sweats earlier watching SportsCenter. He brought the fact that not only the marketing opportunities with Tampa Bay TB, which I never put two and two together, kind of dumb, but he said one thing that really piqued my interest, where it was, he said that Brady doesn't necessarily need to go to a team that needs to, quote, win right now. This man's 43 years old. Like, how long does he have to wait?
Yeah, I mean, he has 6 rings, so he doesn't need to win another championship again. But I don't know. I mean, to your point about marketing, like TB and TB, that's pretty stupid. But if you're worried about marketing, why wouldn't you go to LA, where the Chargers aren't in win now mode? To Jeff Darlington's point, and they're going to be in a new stadium. That's appealing. I don't know, man. Here's my question, though. If he goes to the Chargers, does that make them even more unlikable? They don't have a ton of fans to begin with. So if Tom Brady goes to the Chargers, will even more people despise the Chargers, or will more fans become Chargers fans?
Ooh, let me ask you this. Does whatever team Brady ends up with, do the Patriots fans in New England still have love for Tom, or is that relationship severed forever?
I think it depends on who you ask, honestly, because, I mean, think about LeBron James. I mean, the amount of people who have switched from Cavs fans to Heat fans to Cavs fans to Lakers fans, people just like LeBron. So I think there are plenty of people who just like Tom Brady and will go, I don't know, but because he's only ever been in New England. I don't know. There's probably more people that are loyal to the Patriots, but I feel like if Tom Brady were to still make a Super Bowl appearance, plenty of people would still root for Tom Brady to get that seventh ring.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be immensely.
Question.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you know, the great thing about this is no one knows, right? But as I said, I think it's going to get ugly. I think it's going to get nasty. I think old Bobby Kraft has some skeletons in the closet that he wants to unleash on his quote unquote son, Touchdown Tom. But
think of it this way.
Let me ask you this.
Oh, sorry, not to interrupt you.
No. What you got?
I know Khalil Mack never got the Raiders 6 championships, but I still in my heart root for Khalil, even though he's on the Bears. Like, I still really like Khalil. I'm sure there are plenty of Raider fans who still like Khalil, even though we traded him. Does that make, you know, like, you're not a, I'm not going to be a Bears supporter or anything like that, but I support Khalil and I hope to see him succeed at some point in his life.
This is a little different though, because Khalil didn't choose to leave. You know what I mean? Like, Tom said, I'm good, guys. I'm out of here. Where Khalil was essentially shipped off. So it's, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, and I think there are some similarities, but it is, I don't know if it's a complete apples to apples comparison. You know what I mean?
No, I for sure they're not. But I mean, if you're New England and a Patriots fan, you can't really have any remorse or like any, I don't know, negativity towards Tom in your heart, because anyone who feels that way after a guy brought you 6 rings, that just seems ignorant.
Seems
like
asinine.
I get wanting to see, it does. I get under like wanting to see someone who's played there 20 years, you know, be laid to rest in that uniform, but I don't know.
I'm with you, but do you think that if Tom were to go to Tampa Bay, hypothetically, and I don't think either of us really buy right now that he's going to Tampa Bay, but whether it's Tampa Bay, LA, whatever location he chooses, do you think he hits the rebrand? Like, do you think Tom is rocking like the Bruce Arians Kangol? Like, that's his new look? Like, do you think he changes anything about his aesthetic in his new home? Because it kind of reminds me of like a dad, like trying to get like his pair of like sexy jeans, wearing like the slim fit. You know what I mean?
I don't know. But see, I don't know if you go to Tampa Bay to get a sexy rebrand. Tampa Bay, in my eyes, is like one of the least, if I were a player, Tampa Bay is one of the least desirable teams I would want to go play for. That's just me personally. Nothing against the good people of Tampa Bay.
Well, I think it's directly against the good people of Tampa Bay.
Well, I'm not talking about the citizens who live there. I think just as an organization and as a team, that's not like one I circle on my draft board and like, man, I really hope these guys take me. And if I'm a free agent, the only way I'm going there is if they're shelling out mounds and mounds of cash. I don't know. If you have the pick of any team in the league, are you going to Tampa Bay? No.
No, Tampa Bay isn't on my top 20. Tampa Bay is in my bottom 5 probably. Like, it'd be Cleveland. Yeah, I mean, I
Buffalo.
Can't think of a lot of places. Oh, see, this is where we differ, because you know I have nothing but love in my heart for the good people of Buffalo.
I just couldn't live in Buffalo, but
it would be
rough. I like their uniforms.
It would be rough.
I think they're
great unis.
They have a great fan base. But yeah,
two things that I don't know if you necessarily say about Tampa. Like, when I think of the best NFL fans, I don't know if the Tampa Bay Bucks Legion is at the top of my list. You know what I mean?
No, and it's just like, it's all very corny with their pirate ship and shooting cannons and parrots flying. I don't know. It seems very corny to me.
It does.
Tom Brady doesn't stand for that.
No. Tom stands strictly for excellence, perhaps a commitment to excellence, maybe.
That would be interesting.
Perhaps. It would be.
I would love to see
we
that.
Talked a lot. Yeah, I would do. We've talked a lot about Touchdown Tom at the start, but I'm curious on the other side of this. Is it over for New England? Like, is our national nightmare of the Patriots going to the Super Bowl every mother expletive year, is it done now?
I don't know, man. I'm not going to make that proclamation. I think we have some breathing room as an NFL fan base. I think we have some breathing room because whoever they bring in next, whether it's Jared Stidham, whether they trade up in the draft to go get a young quarterback, if they sign Andy Dalton in free agency, who knows what they're going to do. I don't think whoever they get under center next, they're not going to have the command of the offense that Tom had. It's still Bill Belichick. He's still a mastermind. He's still going to win plenty of games. I just don't see them as a Super Bowl contender right now. I don't know if anybody
let me ask you right now, sitting here on St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way, fellas. But sitting here on St. Patrick's Day, if I were to give you New England at 8.5 wins, you taking the over, the under?
I'm taking the over. I mean, think about who's in that division. You got the Jets. Yikes. And you've got the Dolphins. Yikes. And then you have the Bills, who I think they won.
Those are a playoff team. Games. Bills are a playoff team. Yeah.
I think they won. The Bills are good. And they just got Stephon Diggs. They added some weapons. So, yeah, I think they'll win more than 8 games.
Travi, what are you taking? I give you 8.5 Patriots right now. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on who their quarterback is, because I don't know anything about the guy they have, the backup now.
Stidham, the kid from Auburn?
I'm going to go under. I'll take
the under.
Just because, I mean, they're interesting. Not like super hot either, you know? Because they had one thing to rely on past 20 years. I feel like
that defense last year was nasty, though.
I mean, it was good, but like,
dude, they're the highest scoring defense in the league. They had wasn't good enough to win a championship. The year.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't the Niners, right?
Yeah. Well, nobody is. Nobody's the Niners. I am. I don't know. I think I might take the over with KMM on this one, but I think I take it barely, like the barely over, but I guess the over would hit in that instance. I feel like you got it until Bill Belichick is dethroned. You gotta give the man his respect. You know what I mean? Like you have to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's going to have that team. He's going to put them together and they're going to be positioned to go to the playoffs like they are every single year. But we shall see. Speaking of quarterbacks and keeping with the theme on the top of the show, reportedly, and I know we have to give our disclaimer like we do every day, nothing is official until Wednesday, tomorrow at 1, yada, yada, yada. Things happen between now and then. Deals fall apart. But as of now, Marcus Mariota, Oregon legend, arguably the greatest player to come out of Eugene in 75 years, is slated to sign with your Las Vegas Raiders tomorrow. So KMM, let me ask you, bias aside, you like the move?
I love it. I love it. This guy was Mike Mayock's number one overall pick in the 2015 draft. I know his last season in Tennessee wasn't ideal. You know, he got benched for Tannehill, who clearly did some impressive things. But I think he's got plenty in him. I think he's a very talented quarterback. And I think, best of all, we're going to have a quarterback competition.
You think so?
100%. 100% we're going to have a quarterback competition, because the guys that Derek has had to compete with over the past 4 years, Matt McGloin, Connor Cook, Mike Glennon, AJ McCarron. I mean, come on.
Don't forget AJ Manuel. Yeah,
and EJ Manuel. Mariota is far better than all of those guys. And I think Derek needs a little competition. I think he needs a little kick in the butt, to be honest with you.
Hey, don't we all? I mean, listen, I'm in agreement with you, where I think you're sitting here and we're talking about what is obviously a reported move, and we'll be able to finalize hopefully by tomorrow afternoon. But I look at it this way. I think standing here or talking here, sitting here, whatever position we're in, I think Derek is still the guy. I think Derek goes into the offseason program whenever that is. Oh, speaking of, the offseason program has been delayed indefinitely. But whenever we get back to work, I think Derek comes in. He's QB1. But I think you're 100% right, Kyle, where he's going to have to earn that job. And I'm not saying that Derek has not earned that job every year, because he has. He has 100% earned that job. But he's going to have to do it again in 2020 against, as you said, his stiffest competition. And it's going to be exciting to see how it plays out, because let's be honest, all of us could use, especially in the workplace, a little motivation sometimes, a little kick in the rear end to get things rocking and rolling where they need to be. And I think Mariota is going to be the perfect person to do that. Personality-wise, temperament-wise, obviously what he can do on the field. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And when we get back to meaningful football, whenever that is, we are all going to be more than ready. But you are right, Kyle. I cannot wait to see how this plays out in the next, leading into Week 1.
Yeah, it's you can just kind of see where Gruden and Mayock's head is. It's kind of a telling signing. It's, Mike Mayock has said all throughout the combine, he's been impressed with Derek Carr. He's been happy with Derek Carr, but they're always going to evaluate the position no matter what. And they're always going to do what they can to bring in competition and get the best out of the position. And that's what this is doing. So who knows what they're going to do going forward. I agree with you that I think Derek, as of now, is the guy. I think he'll be the guy. But don't be surprised, man. If Mariota impresses a lot of people, don't be surprised.
100%. I mean, you said it great too. But also think about this. I think this is, and like I said, we have to preface this again by saying this is a reported signing. If this, things could fall apart in between now and tomorrow. But I think people forget a little bit that this quarterback room had to be rebuilt, right? Like, this is not like, oh man, there had to be quarterbacks added to this room. Mike Glennon, Big Daddy Neck, unrestricted free agent. He's probably playing elsewhere. Nate Peterman, his future is uncertain. DeShone Kizer, you don't really know what you have in him. So you had to get another quarterback to add to this room, whether it was in the draft, like a lot of people suspected, or whether it was in free agency, which it appears as of now, that's the way that it's leaning. But you brought up a great point, Kyle, where Double M has been consistent all offseason. And people made such a big deal about this. Oh, he hasn't endorsed Derek. He hasn't endorsed Derek. He has said time after time, every time that he has been asked, he has stayed incredibly on message. Derek is a top tier quarterback, but it is my job to add competition across the roster. From number 1 to 53, that is my job. And this signing is doing exactly that. So the people out there that are kind of surprised, oh man, they signed a quarterback? That's kind of surprising, kind of making me raise an eyebrow. If you're raising an eyebrow over this signing, brother, you have not been paying attention to what's going on the past 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, man. I'm open-minded. I'm excited to see this offseason. I'm excited to see what they do with the along the roster. I'm very excited about what they've done already. I know, like you said, things could fall apart between today and tomorrow, but in addition to Mariota, the two linebackers we added are big time, in my opinion.
Yes. So KMM, I know you're deep in evaluation for the draft right now, but give me the quick one-sheeter on Corey Littleton, who the Silver and Black have also reportedly come to terms with on a deal that could be made final tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, 26-year-old kid out of Spring Valley, California. He is your prototypical linebacker in today's NFL. He's sideline to sideline guy. I was talking to a couple of insiders around the league and analysts. One of them said this is the premier coverage linebacker in the NFL right now, which makes his value incredible. He's not the worst run defender either, which is something we definitely need. He's a little bit smaller for the linebacker position, but you're seeing a lot of teams trend that way just because we got to get faster over the middle. But he's got a high motor. And one other note that one of these analysts told me is that he's on the verge of being a superstar.
I like that. I like all of that. Let me ask you this, though. Does the fact that the Raiders, they've signed, quote unquote, reportedly over the past 24 hours, two legit linebackers, when you put your analyst hat on, Kyle, your evaluation hat, does that change what you want this team to do in the first round, either at 12 or 19? Or are you still pretty dedicated to taking another linebacker there too?
I mean, like I think I said it yesterday on the pod, depth is the name of the game. You can never have too much depth. I mean, yes, you signed Nick Kay and Corey Littleton, but Nick Kay started 8 games in his career, while a lot of people think that he was a steal in free agency for the Raiders and he's going to be a crucial piece going forward. Right now, I think you still have to continue upgrading the position. I mean, defensive line, you might have to address – ooh, that's it. All right, so you know I've been high on getting a linebacker in the draft as well as a wide receiver. We're still going to have to target that wide receiver one probably with the number 12 pick, but there's some talented defensive linemen, most notably Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina. Guy's a gap clogger. Big boy, he was at the Senior Bowl. Everyone loved him. I think you could see the Raiders potentially try to get him. We know that the play of PJ Hall is, you know, an ardent key. They need to step up their game a little bit. Mike Mayock wasn't shy about saying that Rod Marinelli, the defensive line coach, is going to expect more out of each of his players on that line. And, you know, we're going to need to see more hustle. And so getting another body on that defensive line in the interior is one of the best ways to stop Mahomes. If you look at teams that have been able to, as best you can, limit his production, it all comes from the interior pass rush. Yes, when you get to him from the outside and from the edge, it's good to contain him. But if you can't bring him down from the interior, he's going to scramble around and make you look foolish. So we'll see, man. I think there's a lot of different routes they could go, but I think defense is still the name of the game.
Let me ask you this, and I'm just, you know, throwing from the side here. You get your guy at 12, right? Whether it's CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, whoever your wide receiver du jour is. With the moves over the past 24 hours, are you then a little more comfortable maybe trading back at 19 than you were a day ago? Because a day ago, if you had asked me, hey, do you want to go from 19 to 25 and pick up a second? I would be like, I feel pretty good about where we are at 12 and 19. But after what we've seen the past 24 hours, are you a little more okay with maybe dropping down in that first round a little bit more and maybe picking up something on the back end?
Yeah, I can see that as a possibility. After Kenneth Murray, Isaiah Simmons, and Patrick Queen go at the linebacker position, I know they're, you know, the discrepancy between those three and the next guy, the next batch of guys beneath them is pretty high. So I don't know if you get plenty of linebackers in free agency, which we're clearly doing, we're getting two talented guys, I think dropping down from 19 to 25 would be suitable. And then, you know, getting a second round pick to your point to fill the void between 25 and our three picks in the third round.
Because I want a second, dude. I want a second rounder so bad. Like, I love the three third rounders are nice, but give me a second, baby.
I'm still not convinced that we use all three third rounders to pick guys. So we could see one of those picks used to trade for another linebacker. We'll see. There's a lot. They've got a Gruden and Mayock are up to something. They're scheming. They're in the lab. I can see him just, you know, Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, kind of how he does that thing with his fingers where he's just scheming. Yeah. I imagine that they're both hunched over their tape right now and their draft boards and their free agency list doing that exact movement. They're up to something.
So as of now, as of Tuesday afternoon, the three big dogs we've reportedly got, the two linebackers and Mariota, do you think that Double M and Grudog have another shot in them, or are we going to kind of go taper down and then reemerge on the second wave of more depth type guys? Or do you think there's one more dog they're going to go get out there?
I could see that. I mean, we've added a lot of youth, right? We've added a lot of really young guys, which is great because in years past, we've added veteran aging linebackers, which, as we know, didn't really pan out. So I think the money that was spent on youth and linebackers was great. I think the Raiders hit a home run in free agency so far, but I would like to see them go potentially get a guy like Chris Harris. I saw the Broncos could be letting him go. They could be open to trading him. He's a veteran. He's older, but you know, we need depth at cornerback, and to watch someone like Chris Harris Jr. mentor a young Trayvon Mullen who showed a lot in his rookie year, that would be exciting.
Yeah, 100%. And speaking of cornerbacks, Byron Jones will not be joining the Silver and Black, and everything that was reported on the Twitter said that we made him a pretty competitive offer to join us in the desert, and he elected to go to Miami. That's right. Am I saying that right, KMM? He's in Miami now?
He is.
And there's been a lot of chatter on the Twitter about Byron Jones and us quote-unquote missing out on Byron Jones. And this is my thought. As you know, I kind of enter free agency with, I don't want to say any skepticism at all, because you can really get pieces that are going to fit your system and add to what you're trying to build in a locker room 100%. But I am not in the business of overpaying guys in free agency. I would rather that money be allocated to your guys that you draft and you groom that you want to pay a couple years from now. So if Double M and Gruden went up to Byron Jones and said, "Hey brother, here's the offer," and he said, "Hey, this isn't enough," I am 100% okay with us passing, because the teams that win, a wise man once told us, the teams that typically win March and April, they don't win in the fall. And I'm not saying that one signing here or there is going to completely change the trajectory of your season. Like, it's asinine. It's frivolous to even say that. But I am so okay with a number being thrown out there. And if that guy wants to go higher, we're good, baby. Best of luck. Yeah. God bless you. You're going to get your money, but it's not going to be here.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see that money was spent on Corey Littleton. I don't know if the Raiders, if Mayock and Gruden were more adamant about getting Jones than Littleton, but in my humble opinion, who's not in the front office, I'm happy that the Raiders got another linebacker and one who's a budding superstar. I think it's important for us to get guys who can cover the tight end position, especially guys with Hunter Henry, Travis Kelce, all in our division. So it's important that we got those positions. And, you know, cornerbacks, like you say, the shelf life is super short. I think the shelf life of a linebacker is a little bit longer, and he's only 26. So this is great. And you got a guy who's able to man Paul Gunther's defense and get everyone lined up. I saw a funny tweet earlier from one of the Bay Area reporters, or Las Vegas reporters now, I guess, saying that I think Paul Gunther passed out after the signings of Nick Kay and Corey Littleton, which is fair, because Paul Gunther probably hasn't had the amount of guys he wished he would have had over the last two seasons.
Yeah, that's from our buddy Vic Tafer, if I remember correctly. Vic Tafer from The Athletic. But the Gunth has to be the most excited person at 1220 right now. He's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of young talent, and he's got a lot of experienced young talent. Guys who are able to make plays and are going to be able to run his defense the way that he wants it to be run.
I just have this vision of Gunth when, like, the Littleton news comes through, where he just takes off his hat and that beautiful flow of his is just everywhere, and he's swinging the hat around, you know? Like, I would love Gunth to have that moment.
I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's cracked a couple of beers in celebration, too.
Hey, Travis, can we crack a cold one for Paul Gunther right now? Can we do that? There it is, baby. Here's one to you, Paulie G. Happy we got you some pieces. Speaking of guys that, well, at one point were the Silver and Black, KMM, our guy Coop got paid yesterday. Big money for Amari Cooper to stay in Dallas. It's a simple but very complicated question. Would you have given him that cash?
I don't know. He's the second highest paid wide receiver in the league. Has he played like the second best wide receiver in the league? I don't think so.
He has not. He certainly has not. And he's great, but 100 M's great?
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got Julio Jones. You've got DeAndre Hopkins. You've got plenty of other guys around the league who I think have produced more than Coop has. It's Mike Evans. I mean, he got paid, but I don't know. Coop is definitely talented, like you said, and he definitely made Dak a better player, but I don't know. I don't know. It's just weird because there's times where it feels like he's in and he's bought in, and then there's times where he just checks out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just kind of, you know, for better or for worse, that's who he is. You know what I mean? I think that And I hate when people say, oh, this guy doesn't love ball. Oh, he's not, you know, that's not his first priority. And I don't know necessarily know if football is, like, if Coop is in love with football, but I think that's okay if he's not. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's okay. And we live in this kind of alpha football guy society where you got to love ball more than anything. And I think it's okay not to love ball, you know, maybe not to love it, but it's okay for it not to consume you 24/7. And I think that's where Coop stands.
Not if you're in John Gruden's offense.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't want any of those guys in silver and black. And if you notice, the guy that we're talking about, he no longer resides here.
Yeah, exactly.
I do want to.
Good for him.
So go, yes,
no,
absolutely.
Good for him, man.
Get your money, Coop. Get that money, baby. You brought up Stephon Diggs earlier, who's now a member of the Buffalo Bills. And I was sitting there and I was baffled when I saw what the Vikings got back for Stephon Diggs in comparison to what the Texans got back for DeAndre Hopkins. Bill O'Brien, get me some of whatever you got, brother, because you are living in an alternate reality, my friend.
I saw a chart that said it was just like the teams who have made the biggest improvement versus the teams who have gone backwards. And at the top were the Cardinals and the bottom were the Texans, understandably. They were like the far away, the furthest from, like, their colored graph was damn near off the chart.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know how, if you're Bill O'Brien, I don't know how you can look at yourself in the mirror, truthfully, after seeing what the Vikings got back. It was what, a first rounder, a fourth rounder, picks in 2020 and in 2021? Like, geez, come on, man. Yeah. You couldn't get one first rounder for DeAndre Hopkins?
I think it's hilarious, too, that I think they ended up giving up a fourth back to the Cardinals also.
Oh, boy, you know what that reminds me of a little bit? And I know both of you guys know where I'm going with this. It reminds me a little bit of the Khalil trade when it came out that we had to ship off a second rounder. And all of us are sitting there like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
definitely not the brightest moment in our collective history. Certainly not.
No, I don't know if that was a good move on, and sending that second pick, I don't know if it was a good move on Reggie's behalf, but here we are.
Here we are. We made the bed and now we have to lie in it. And that's okay because things are picking up over here. We're feeling pretty good about where we're at a day before the start of the league year. And, you know, hopefully the Dolphins do too, but TBD. Things are weird right now, boys. I think that's an appropriate summation of where we are as a planet. But it is St. Patrick's Day. So even though we are all quarantined in these remote areas, either you fellas going to do anything to celebrate or are you just business as usual?
I'm business as usual, man. I'm not going to drink excessively to weaken my immune system.
Smart.
I'm with you.
Might have some wine. Call it a day.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. Either you guys wearing green?
Yes, I have Sprite socks on.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I hope that's just Sprite alone, K-Man. There's nothing in there.
Yeah, it's Sprite alone. Nothing in there.
Good,
well, it's
good.
My socks, yeah.
Yes.
Giving some love to the good people at that Lemon Lime Factory.
Yes. Also, hashtag breaking news. Put the breaking news sign on, Travi. According to the Rap Daddy, Phil Rivers, well, according to Judy Batista, and then the Rap Daddy second, the Colts are on the verge of signing Philip Rivers. Rap says they've been on the they've been closing in all day. Phil's going to come 25 M's a year. Woo! Yikes.
Damn.
That is a lot of cash. Do we play the Colts next year? Does anyone know off the top of their head?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. But hey, but good for Phil Rivers. Get that money, baby. And I'll miss seeing you twice a year because, you know, I do love Phil. But on he soldiers. I feel like that's a good landing spot for him, though, in Indy.
Yeah, he fits that brand.
Oh, and what's speak carefully, Cayman. What brand is that?
Just, you know, he's a country boy.
Yeah, that's fair. Before we get out of here,
Jacoby Brissett.
Oh no, let's bring Jacoby Brissett to Vegas. You think he'd sign up to be our number three? I'm gonna take that as a no from KMN. The disrespect that you have for all the quarterbacks and all the players really that I love, really, it hurts me.
Because your love for them is based on like ridiculous things that they do, not like their actual production or play on the field. You like the Jacoby Brissett because he's just a wild man. I don't want my quarterback to be a wild man who doesn't win games.
You were with me, Kyle, the moment I was like, I like the cut of his jib. You were sitting next to me in Indianapolis, and on the play in question, did he not score a touchdown on it? Did he not unnecessarily pump fake three times? But did he also not get to the pylon?
I mean, he did, but I don't know, man.
Hey, let me ask you this. What was the end result of that play? Was it 6 points or not?
What was the end result of that game? A pick six to ice it.
Well, that's because Eric Harris was, I mean, that was the start of Ed Reed Harris and his rebirth.
Oh, man. You make me laugh.
Oh, I'm glad. Before we get out of here, last one, real quick. Producer Trav and Booby, corned beef and cabbage, yay or nay? Travy, what you got?
I'm not that high on it, but I will eat it if it's available.
Booby?
I'm a nay.
I'm kind of in between. I lean towards nay, but I'm with you, Trav. If someone prepares it for me, I'll probably eat it. So, well, we did it again, boys. The remote boys strike again. 2 days, two pods, keeping the tent churning. And make sure you guys call us. We had a few technical difficulties with our voicemail line in classic us fashion, but make sure you give us a call today. We'll try to get to it tomorrow. The number, once again, 510-239-3305. Once again, if you want to talk to Kyle, Trav, or myself, 510-239-3305. So, boys, back again tomorrow, same time, same place. Actually, I take that back. We'll probably record a little later tomorrow, since all of these deals become official at 1 o'clock Pacific time. And then I assume once everything dies down, we're going to get back in the lab. We're going to break it all down. Maybe have a guest or two in the coming 48 hours. That would be exciting. And then also, we are also in the process of experimenting with trying to find some sort of way to, what's the word I'm looking for, Trav? Not live stream, but to have some sort of video element to the pod. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, like a Google Hangout of some sort.
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, since we literally have nothing but time right now, I'm sure that'll be coming sooner than later. So until tomorrow, when we catch you guys, Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, the great KMM from his undisclosed location, we thank you guys for joining us deeply, humbly, and sincerely. And we'll catch you guys tomorrow a little later in the afternoon once business really gets rocking and rolling on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.